Joseph looking for the opening goal of this match. Hands on hips at the top of the box. Steps to the left, up to the ball, strikes it, and scores! 1-0 to Atlanta United in the 25th minute.
All right, that's Mike Conti. And Escobar set up that PK for Joseph Martinez. A dude came over and tackled him. And I really want to talk with Jason Longshore about that because I didn't think that that was so egregious that you would give us a PK on that. But I'm not a soccer expert. I watch the games. I, you know, try to understand and figure this thing out. But we'll take it. And immediately, like the fans in the stands, John, they knew. Because essentially, the minute they saw that tackle and the ref blow the whistle, they were like, because they knew a PK was coming. And Joseph Martinez with like this jump stop thing where he jumps in the air. And I thought Johnson, the terrific goaltender for New York City FC, committed too soon. Like Joseph's in the air and the dude jumped to the right and then Joseph just hit it to his right and then Joseph hit it to the vacated part of of the net.
It's literally you guess as a goalkeeper. You stick to your guess and you go. And that's why you'll see guys flying all the way to the left or to the right and the ball's going the other. Because you're guessing. You got to anticipate that the ball's going to go here. You kind of watch your film and you do all that. But Joseph has done that a few times this year where he'll run up and do like the exaggerated and it gets the goalkeeper all out of sorts. I knew it was a penalty as well because the guy went in spikes high and never got the ball. If he gets the ball first, it's not a penalty. He never gets the ball. He just gets all of Franco Escobar and then they let Joseph go take the goal. The goal of the match, though, was Miguel Almiron. Now, what was interesting, and I was listening to it while we're on the plane. They went back after the game and said Miggy literally, I guess when you get a yellow card and you get a free kick, there's a couple of yards of leeway you're supposed to get. They said they think Miguel Almiron took like 7 yards closer to the box in leeway, and the referees never stopped it. So for Mark Geiger, who's been a thorn in the side of Atlanta United,
he called a good match this game.
He called a good match. Let's be real. He did a good job. He helped it. He didn't help Atlanta United out. He called it how it was supposed to
Thank
be called.
You. Just call the match. You don't have to cook up offsides penalties, dude, and buzzkill 70,000 people in Atlanta. You don't have to do that. He's done that. He didn't do it yesterday. He just called it straight, John. You know, they were sliding into us, getting spikes up and the whole thing. And that Castellanos, dude, screw you, dude, tries to headbutt Gazan and then
falls down
and tries to get the call on Gazan. And why are you talking anyway? Gazan's going over to his defensive player that made a good play and he's patting him on top of the head. And then the NYFC, I think I'm saying that wrong, NYCFC guy, what do you say? Gazan should have punched him in the face. I know you can't. You'll get suspended and all that. But that's what that guy deserved. You deserved a knuckle freaking sandwich.
No, you know what they deserved? To get eliminated. And that's exactly what happened. They got their sorry butts eliminated. They can go back to New York, go cry in your little bandbox of a soccer stadium called Yankee Stadium. How about build something up there that actually, you know, fits regulations of soccer? It was nice to see that group go away. That Maxi dude. Oh, what a pain.
Matt Morales.
Yeah, that dude's like this tall, and he's jumping in everybody's face. And then him, I guess there was an Atlanta United fan or somebody behind the bench yelling at him. And Tata saves this Maxi Morales guy from getting into it with a fan. It was amazing to watch yesterday. Atlanta United did their thing. They're on to the Eastern Finals, and now they get the Red Bulls.
So, all right, I got to complain a little bit here about NYCFC. And I sent this out on Twitter yesterday. But you've got Morales going in at Almiron with the spikes up. One of the dudes took out, God, I think it was Escobar, and made him, he like banged his head on the signage. I was really worried that one of our guys were going to get hurt because that's how goonerific NYCFC was at the end of that match. So annoying were these guys. And I won't call him David Villa. I'll call him David Villa. Okay, he doesn't even deserve to have his name pronounced the right way by just a dumb American like me. But I tweeted out last night, John. And by the way, a little trepidation as I sent this out. I'm like, am I getting in trouble sending this out? Am I going to create an email or a meeting here? I said, yo, at NYCFC fans, I have a question. Your guys Castellanos and Morales and Villa are annoying as hell. How do you root for these chippy itches? Two responses.
What'd they say?
One of them says, how fitting that Castellanos is the reason Martinez scores right there. And the other one says, the same way you root for Almiron. Okay, so one bit of shade back from NYCFC. I thought there'd be all kinds of, we love these guys, they're great, blah, 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 blah. So like a bunch of chickens, they just crawled in a hole and died. I've got 40,000 followers on Twitter, okay? I'm not bragging, but I'm just saying I've got a decent little scope on Twitter. Two responses. So suck on that L, NYCFC, with your annoying players.
That goes to show you the strength of Atlanta United, though. You would have asked something about Atlanta United, you would have had a bunch of responses. I think NYCFC, they're up there, they're going, the Jets suck, the Giants suck. Let's be real, we sort of care about the MLS. We're not going to respond to Rick Kamla.
So what they're saying is, yo, has spring training started yet?
Yeah. Have we signed Bryce Harper yet? Have we traded for
Machado?
A pitcher? Have we traded for some pitching?
About it.
And that's what they care about. Or they're listening to Mike Francesa snore. Or talk about Matt Vergasian. Isn't that how you say it, Paul? Vergasian?
Vergasian.
Or, you know, you could be talking about the wrong person entirely, and it was actually, what's his name?
Yeah, it was Tom Brenneman.
Yeah, Tom Brenneman.
Rick Kamla's guy.
Or, you know, you could be like, Francesa's still in a fight with the morning show.
Is he?
On the fan. Oh, yeah, it's gotten ugly up there. It's personal.
With him and Boomer and...
Yeah, that whole crew.
Who's in with Boomer now?
Giannotti.
That's right.
The guy that was making fun of him.
Yeah.
Wait, the Francesa show and the Boomer show have beef?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to lean towards the Boomer
That's
show.
That's awesome.
Because we love Boomer. Boomer's
our guy, dude. I'm in camp Esiason on that one. All right. I do want to, John, analyze the soccer game for just a minute, if I could. We know about the PK for Joseph, the unbelievable shot by Almiron, and then the great hit ahead to Joseph, who let it bounce once and then just shot a rocket into the goal. So the offense was great. But there are, John, I've got four defensive plays that I want to call out here. It's a 0-0 game. They set up a header at point-blank range right at Kazan. Now, it wasn't that hard of a save. You saw the game, John, because the shot was right at him, but he made the save. And that was a 0-0 game at that point. Now, we have a 1-0 lead. Do you remember the play where Parkhurst heads away a scoring opportunity for Villa? I mean, it was like if he didn't make the right play there, it was Villa and Kazan. And so he headed it away thwarted a scoring opportunity for them. Now, it's 2-1 Atlanta United. Morales has a header, again, right at Kazan, but it was bang-bang, and like to the naked eye, you're like, oh, no! And then Kazan is there for the save. Another huge defensive play. And then, was it the save of the year? Was it the save of the playoffs? I don't know. I haven't watched like every minute of every game. But the diving save that Kazan had on Castellanos when he was in the box and shot that ball, if you're the attacker to the left side.
Almost a little bicycle kick?
Yes, where he twisted his body around and got in position to get a good foot on the ball, and he did. And Kazan had to dive and make that save. Like, those four defensive plays right there, to me, you kind of expect Joseph and Almiron to score. That's what they do. But these plays right here were as important, if not more important, to us moving on to the East Finals.
We're going to continue that conversation, obviously, throughout the week. Jason Longshore will join us on Wednesday. We'll talk to him about Atlanta United. They do have an international break before the Eastern Conference Finals. But Falcons, also a big story as we go around the 404. If you missed this earlier, we want to play this sound for you. Here's Devondre Campbell with Dave Archer after the game yesterday.
To be honest, we didn't come out with energy we've been coming out with the past couple weeks, you know. And, I feel like it was one of those situations where, like, as a team, we were just like, it's the Cleveland Browns, and we didn't take them serious. You know, it's the NFL, and every week is championship week. And today we just didn't get it done.
He caught himself, and I don't know if you guys caught this earlier. He caught himself. He was going to say there were a couple, and he goes, there were, as a team, we didn't come out. So you wonder, was it a few guys didn't play? Was it the whole team? Is Devondre just catching himself along the way? Either way, it was nothing that you want to hear after a disheartening loss to a team that you're better than.
Did Devondre Campbell play a good game yesterday?
He was okay.
Was he?
He was okay.
Well, he left Duke Johnson wide open over the middle of the field.
Both the linebackers.
No, again, I know, but he was part of that.
Absolutely.
Zone that was coverage. Campbell and Riley.
Zone coverage, they both go boop, and so, they left the middle wide open.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying that Campbell was going to point fingers at anybody at that point, but Devondre Campbell is as culpable for what went on as
they
anybody.
All are.
They all are. Now, I don't hear in there, I don't hear him throwing anybody under the bus.
But
I hear him just explaining the vibe of the team.
Listen closely. He almost says couple, but then he goes and says as a team.
You know, I feel like it was one of those situations where, like, as a team, we were just like, it's the Cleveland Browns, and we didn't take them serious. You know, it's the-
like as a team.
Yeah, but I don't want to speculate as to where his mind was going to take it at that point. I think what he was going to say is there were a couple plays here and there. Again, I'm climbing into the mind of a ball player.
Right.
It's dangerous stuff. But he was probably going to say a couple plays here and there. And then his mind triggered, no, we completely sucked as a team, like from wire to wire. So instead of like picking out a player or two, John, there were 20 plays that you could point to throughout
Easy.
That football game that if this goes our way, it's a different result. But like I explained at the top of the show, the comeback was there. They did not score a point after the 92-yard touchdown run by Nick Chubb. Plenty of time to come back in the game. And I think, John, when I'm watching the game, when we did not take the field goal down 18, I said, we just lost the football game. And it's the decision coupled with the incompletion to Saubert. Now, I'm a take-the-points guy. You know that. I say it all the time. Take the three. Take the three. Take the three. If Saubert scores there, I shut up, I retreat, and I say, all right, Dan, I didn't agree with the decision, but it worked out. Here we go. Falcons, you know what I'm saying? But it didn't work out. You didn't get the touchdown. You left three on the table, and you needed those three.
For me, I'm
down 18, you make it a 15-point game, in my opinion. 15, John, is 7 plus 8.
For me, I'm always a go-for-it guy, and you know that. You've heard me talk about this from day one when they play the Eagles. Go for it. Let's go put some points on the board. Put the touchdown on the board. What I didn't like was Tevin Coleman, I thought, and I was looking down the goal line, looked like he had gotten in the end zone. I understand you're with your timeouts and you know it's a comeback scenario. I've got to challenge that play. And at minimum, if I lose a timeout, so be it. But at minimum, it gives me time to kind of reconfigure, either take the field goal as you like, or realize I'm 3.5 inches from the goal line. You got to get in there, Matt Ryan. We're quarterback sneaking this, and we're getting it because they were going to quarterback sneak before the Browns jumped off sides. That was my point to that. I would have reviewed it. And then again, you're down because at that point, you kick the extra point. You're going to be down, 11? And now game's on. Game is on, and you're ready to roll.
Did we have two challenges left at that point?
We hadn't challenged anything,
okay.
So yes.
Big time mistake. Did you see Doug Peterson challenge last night for 1 yard?
I did not. I was.
He challenged.
Dude, I was out.
For 1 yard.
Now, was it for a first down or just?
No, it's goal to go. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott ran to the right.
Okay.
And was doing the tightrope job on the sidelines, stepped out at the 4.5 yard line, and I think they gave him progress to the 3. Doug Peterson challenged it because it was a bad spot. He did step out of bounds, obviously. He threw the challenge flag for 1.5 yards. He did not throw the challenge flag for a turnover or a score. And so, Dan, come on, man. When it is a touchdown that you should get, Mike Tomlin screwed this up earlier this year. There was a James Conner touchdown where he spun into the end zone and Tomlin didn't review it. And you guys know that all scoring plays are reviewable. All turnovers are reviewable. But if you think it's a turnover but it's not, you review it. And if you think it's a score, but it's not, then you as a coach have to review it. And, John, the Hooper review, or lack of a review, was even more egregious than not reviewing the Tevin Coleman thing. You still had both challenges. What are you doing, bro? I'm just saying, you have two challenges, John. A lot of games, you're never even going to throw it one time. So I'm throwing it at the first two opportunities to throw it, and if I get in the middle of the fourth quarter and I'm out of challenges, then so be it, because there were two other plays that I vehemently disagreed with that I had to challenge.
You can't just throw them out there, care, because you lose a timeout if it's bad. But on a score,
I'm not saying willy-nilly. I'm saying Hooper scored a freaking touchdown.
So did
Tevin
Coleman.
He was in. He caught the ball at the goal line, and then they pushed him out. Come on, bro. Come on.
No, I'm with you.
I'm not saying come on to you. I'm saying to Q.
Dude,
throw the freaking flag.
The first one, you got a challenge. If you lose the timeout, so be it. There were still 14 minutes left in the game. You got to figure out how to navigate, and you may have to go to an onside kick or whatever to do. So that was the problem I had with that. That scenario, two plays to me stood out. fourth and one down at the goal line, down 18, throwing a ball. And you had Cleveland 21-10. You have them backed up at the 8-yard line, and you let Nick Chubb go 92. When they punted the ball, and it was a great down, I think a great punt by Bosa. You have to fair catch it. First down, they either throw incomplete or it's like a 1-yard pass. And I remember saying to Arch, pin them at minimum. You flip the field. You're only down 11. No big deal. Boom. That changed the entire game flow, that 92-yard run.
I think the guys kind of let go of the rope at that point, coaches and players, because Dan Quinn did not coach like smart or competitive. He kind of coached, go for two. Let's see what we got here.
Hey, Falcon fans, you have a chance to save up to $100 at Kauffman Tire this season when your Falcons score a touchdown. For each quarter they score, you'll save $25 at any Kauffman Tire store the next day. They scored in two quarters yesterday, so fans will save $50 on a set of four select new tires today. Only KauffmanTire.com or go to your local Kauffman Tire store for details. Kauffman Tire, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. We've got some good sound from around the NFL, including the Saints getting another coach fired. That happened on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
I feel like it was one of those situations where, like, as a team, we were just like, it's the Cleveland Browns, and we didn't take them serious. Sports
Radio. Oh, it sure is. And some big-time breaking news. We're going to play all this sound. Cooper Kupp is out for the year with a torn ACL for the Los Angeles Rams. And before you think it's a death knell, it's a blow. It's a major setback. But they got a guy named Josh Reynolds, Texas A&M?
Yes.
Wide receiver who was great in college, and he's been a underused but solid guy. He had a two-touchdown game about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But it's our NFL bounce. We're talking big-time NFL news and monster news for the Rams. Cooper and fantasy football fans, Cooper Kupp out for the year with an ACL.
Well, some news from the New Orleans Saints as well. Obviously, Dez Bryant with the torn Achilles. The Saints have moved on and signed veteran wide receiver Brandon Marshall to a 1-year deal. They confirmed the signing a little bit earlier on today. This will be Marshall's fourth team in 2 years. He was released by the Seahawks, the Giants, and now here he is again with the New Orleans Saints. They were looking for a big veteran receiver. Cameron Meredith a week ago went on injured reserve, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
So here you go. You got Brandon Marshall in the fold for the New Orleans Saints. I'll be honest, they don't need anybody right now. What they're doing offensively is borderline criminal in the NFL.
I'm glad you went here because I was going to send out a really edgy, really snarky tweet. And I said, nah, I'm having a great weekend in Tuscaloosa. I don't want to create, you know, controversy. You know. But now that I'm on the air, I'm going to. What happened to Dez Bryant last week?
Tore his Achilles.
In his second practice with the Saints, karma is a rhymes with ditch. It is.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
It is. It's a bad dude, man. It's a bad dude. Created problems everywhere. Turned down 3 years and $21 million. Let's go to Dez Bryant for the dumb bleep decision of the year award. And practice number two with the Saints, he pops his Achilles. Karma's an itch.
What was
there
my
I said it. I feel so much better.
I tore my Achilles twice. What did I do?
No, sometimes, John, injuries and accidents just happen. And sometimes I think the football gods send a lightning bolt down on you.
They may have. Well,
second practice, John?
That
second
stinks.
Practice. He didn't do it in a game. He did it in a practice. I'm just saying. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Well, the Saints did not have any problem without Dez Bryant or Brandon Marshall yesterday. They actually got Cincinnati's defensive coordinator, Terrell Austin, fired today as they hung 51, courtesy of WWL.
I formation, Brees under center, dives over the top, touchdown. Drew Brees takes it over the top on fourth down, and the New Orleans Saints take a 44-7 lead.
No, it was Eli Apple who scored the touchdown.
If you, that was Saints radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
If, who doesn't know that Drew Brees is going to go over the top with the football? He's done it 75 times in his Hall of Fame career. You dummies. You know the play. And you still can't stop it. Did you see the Bengals at the line of scrimmage? They had nobody behind the wall. They had no linebackers to come up and, like, push Drew back. It was, like, the easiest little put the ball over the goal line and bring it back TD of Drew Brees' career. And you mentioned Terrell Austin getting fired, their defensive coordinator. Bengals fans, I got bad news. Your defense is not getting any better with Marvin Lewis taking over defensive coordinator duties, okay? Your defense is not getting any better with that.
That's the second coordinator that's been fired in Cincinnati. Zampezi was fired earlier this year. All right, Marvin Lewis, it's on you. Like, everybody else is gone. It's on you, period.
To be super mediocre.
Well, my thing to that is they've already placed blame on the OC and the DC and whatnot. Maybe at some point it becomes the head coach that probably should have been fired 2 years ago.
It's always been a head coaching problem, but he's got pictures of the owner in a compromising position.
Preacher Man was in a compromising position yesterday down on all fours praying as Tennessee
down on all fours, huh?
Steamrolls the Patriots.
I wasn't praying. I mean, I was happy, but, you know, they were pretty dominant, so wasn't no need to pray yesterday.
Were you down on all fours barking like a dog?
No.
Look, I was trying to do a segue, and that was the easiest way I could get to it. But either way, WGFX, Derrick Henry with the Wildcat touchdown run.
Mariota shifts out, direct snap, Henry running on the right side, Henry 5, Henry end zone, touchdown, Titans, a Wildcat.
That's my dude right there. What's his name, Preacher Man?
That's Mike Keith.
I like that call a lot. Touchdown, Titans, great. I like the Rob Bramlett. I like the Auburn touchdown call. Touchdown, Auburn!
It only happened one time on Saturday night.
He got that baby out of the way in the first quarter, and he was good. Didn't he tell us last week when we interviewed him, he's like, yeah, I haven't been doing too many of those live calls this year.
He hasn't, but the Titans steamroll the Patriots 34-10. I love the fact that they kind of shoved it to the Patriots and ran Philly, where they threw the ball back to Mariota. Mariota actually catches it and runs for a first down on the play.
Well, the funny thing about that is Vrabel talked about it in his post-presser and said they only ran that to prove to the Patriots how to run it properly.
That's awesome.
Tom Brady actually made the catch this time on the Philly special.
And then
as he was turning around to run upfield, his legs got all tied up and his old butt fell down. It was hilarious.
I think I called him like a baby calf or a horse when he was making that, when we were watching the game. I was like, oh, look, it's like a baby foal falling down.
It's like one of us dads in the backyard trying to make like an athletic move and like we'd spin and fall down and everybody laughs. And he's in the NFL.
Speak for yourself. I'm athletic enough.
Okay, okay, Mr. Achilles.
Hey, I've torn Achilles. I still do my thing. And I do have a game tonight, 7 o'clock. Team we eliminated in the playoffs last year. So we got to go get a little PGP action.
Check it out, Preacher Man. Another championship game on a Monday night.
No, it's not a championship game tonight. It's just a regular season game. We just
love
championship.
I love getting out of you about that.
Hey, Seattle, they gave the Rams all they could handle. But according to the Rams radio network, there was a huge fourth down stop.
In the shotgun, Russell Wilson has a waist-high snap. Pressure from his right. He rolls left. He pump fakes. He throws. A leaping attempt. No good. It's incomplete left side. He overshot Tyler Lockett, and the Rams will win it in Week 10, 36-31, to improve to 9-1.
Hey, John, we talk about chokiness and clutch all the time. Russell Wilson is clutch. I trust that dude. But sometimes clutch quarterbacks do a very choky thing. And the throw to Tyler Lockett on the sideline yesterday, he's rolling out to the left. And what happened was he pump faked. And that threw his rhythm off. And then he geared up for the pass and he airmailed it over Lockett's head. See it, throw it, right? Collinsworth last night, I know we bang on him. I'm not a huge fan, but he did a great job of breaking down Dak Prescott. Dak holding onto the ball way too long. John, you have to trust your instincts. Watch Jared Goff. Watch Matt Ryan. You know what they do? They throw to a spot, and their wide receivers, due to all the time on the practice field, know exactly where to go, and they got a little out pattern, 18 yards downfield. They go exactly 18 yards downfield, and it's all timed up perfectly. Dak doesn't trust his guys or himself, and that's why he sees it, processes it, too late. Too late. Ball's got to be out. You got to see it, and the ball's got to come out. And Dak's not doing that, and Russell Wilson just needed to see it and be it, and he waited, and it cost him a victory.
My favorite part about this game, and we had this one on the plane flying back, Aaron Donald had picked up what on the field was called a fumble, ended up being overturned, it is incomplete. He picks it up and looks like a tailback running down the sideline. Seattle center Justin Britt cheap shots the crap out of him. And Aaron Donald's a pretty low-key dude. We've had a chance to meet him, really good dude. He turns around, and there's a big scuffle on the sideline. Well, you think it's over in the middle of the game? Yeah, not so much. After the game's over, they're doing all their pleasantries. Aaron Donald is literally down to a T-shirt, runs over, grabs his helmet, puts it back on, and runs back out to find Justin Britt. They have words. Donald grabs Britt by the face mask and starts shaking him, and everybody has to separate him. Aaron Donald wanted him a piece of Justin Britt. And I'm going to tell you, had Britt had his helmet off, I think Britt gets knocked out by Aaron Donald.
I love it, man. The Rams keep rolling. Again, fantasy football, Josh Reynolds is going to be a big-time pickup for you guys with Cooper Kupp out. And this is not a death knell for the Rams. It's a major hit. It is not a death knell. They can still win the Super Bowl with Josh Reynolds in for
Cooper
Kupp.
Not playing defense the way they're doing. They're going to have to play better defense to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, so the teams that are you've got Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is, You've got the Rams. Their defense is, The Patriots. Their defense is, The best defense of the top teams is the New Orleans Saints. Okay? And why? Because they stop the run. They give up plays through the air. Wide receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks get busy against New Orleans. You know who doesn't? Running backs. Joe Mixon shut down yesterday. Todd Gurley the week before. That's the difference. I'd probably put the Saints number one on a power ranking right now because of that.
We've got the Cowboys coming to town this week, and Zeke Elliott got busy on Cowboys radio.
Handoff. Elliott works his way through and walks the dog. Touchdown, Elliott. Oh, what a job by Looney.
Great job up front.
Oh,
great job up front.
Man, oh man.
That was one of the worst live calls I've ever heard in my life. So what happened? Did he blow a guy up? Who did he blow up? Where did he blow him up? In the flat, at the line of scrimmage? John, so many of these play-by-play guys on radio, describe the play. I'm in a car right now. I can't see. Take me there. That was a brutal live call. I hate the Cowboys anyway.
Here's Green Bay radio as they blow out the Dolphins. This was the Dolphins with a fake punt. They got a first down because Brock Osweiler couldn't get them very many.
J.K. Scott in punt formation. Oh, it's an up snap to the up back and around the left end. This is going to work. 40, 35, 30, inside the 25, and down he goes near the 23-yard line. So the Packers work a little magic here.
So
that was actually the Packers with it, because the Dolphins had a fake punt as well during the game.
And the Raiders had a fake punt, and, you know, the punter streaking down the sideline thing, and it was really cool. That was Wayne Larrabee, by the way, on the Packers radio network. That was a layup. And by the way, a coming out, I'll say it this way. I don't like that phrase. A breakout game for Aaron Jones. He had the huge fumble against New England last week. They gave him the rock, and he was a hero yesterday for the Pack.
He was. Hey, Falcon fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcon game for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff. It's Mike Conte and Hugh Douglas. They'll preview the Falcons matchup and get you ready for some football. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. We got the Preacher Man coming up next with From the Bible.
The Game. All righty then. It's a Falcons Monday powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. And after I sink my teeth into Jimmy Butler and Carmelo Anthony in Tell the Truth Monday, I may change the way NBA players go about their business. NBA superstar arrogance is at an all-time high. It is out of control, and I am going to take Jimmy Butler and Carmelo Anthony 800 feet deep. That's coming up at the top of the hour.
But right now, it's the Preacher Man.
Don't
it's a
anywhere.
Lot of research material from the Preacher Man.
Who?
Research material.
The Preacher Man.
Oh, it's mine now?
Yeah, I'm retired, remember?
You do still hug up on the nickname Preacher Man, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But just not the research material.
Yeah, you know, you listen to the campaign, you know.
What do you think, like Thanksgiving? Like Thanksgiving, maybe you end the embargo?
Thanksgiving's next week. I'm off next week, so it's all good.
Good point.
I'm off tomorrow.
Would you call this an embargo, a boycott? What are we officially calling
this? I just call it keeping my word.
Or resigning, one or the other. I think that's what it was.
Well, bottom line, people, don't be butthurt. We will still give you research material. It just isn't going to come from Preacher Man because he holds grudges like that.
No grudges. Just keep my word. Man of my word. That's all. All right. So we talked about earlier, last week or the end of last week, how LaMelo Ball is coming back to play high school basketball. One thing he will not be doing, however, he will be ineligible for one of the highest honors at the basketball level. He will not be able to play in the McDonald's All-American game. Because he has played professional ball. It's been announced, and they have told him flat out, you can't play.
Okay. The question is, and I don't know enough about the guys that are coming out, would he have been a McDonald's All-American? Would they have put him in there because of his name, or is he really a good enough player to be there?
I was just going to say that. Like, we're assuming a lot, right? And I'm assuming that you'd have to be in the top 24. I don't know if they go 12 aside.
Yeah, it's top 24.
Top 24. So he might be one of the top 24 players in high school basketball, but we can't assume that.
Yeah, I really don't know.
The guy's been in Lithuania. He was pulled out of school out there at wherever the hell they are in California by his dad.
Somewhere, L.A.-ish.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's one of the top 24 high school players.
Well, another thing about that, his school, Spire, I believe it's called, there's several schools that are backing out of their commitments to play against that school now that LaMelo has joined the squad.
Why would they do that?
Because he played pro ball.
Aha.
So they believe that he has the advantage.
Well, yeah, he does.
So, they're getting a lot. They're getting a couple cancellations from schools that they were set to play already.
Okay, so let's unpack this for just a minute. Why did this high school, it's not a high school, right? It's an academy. It's like a basketball academy.
Elite Spire Academy.
But they play like regular, I'm confused. They play high school teams or they play other academy teams?
Usually they play high school.
Yeah, usually they play high school teams. Even you're an academy, you still play like in the local high school.
Like IMG Academy in Florida, they play local high schools.
I didn't know that.
And IMG will actually play around the country because they're a football factory is basically what they are. And I'm not sure. I think they have two teams. One of them that can legitimately compete for a Florida high school title. And then the other one that's just kind of there. We're going to go play Hoover and we're going to play Long Beach Poly and we're going to play all of these schools.
So there is a rumor. I want to stress a rumor. I don't know any intel on this. But there's speculation and rumor that the Lakers paid off LaVar Ball to muzzle him. Have you guys heard that rumor?
I have not.
Preacher man.
I haven't, but if they did, they're smart.
Do you think we have not heard a peep out of LaVar Ball? We got Magic Johnson threatening to fire the head coach. You would think that LaVar might want to belly up to the bar for a take on that whole saga,
you
right?
Think he'd be all over that.
Right? So I don't know but if LaVar Ball was paid off by the Lakers to just shut up, he is the most brilliant human being in the world. He really is. I would have to give him that credit. He would have annoyed the human race to the point where he got money for being so annoying. Do you see what I'm talking about here?
Dude, I am looking at this IMG Academy in Florida. No wonder they're so good. My son's even remotely close enough to being able to go there. I'm in. It's a college campus is what it is. It's insane. Preacher man.
All right, Johnny. So, Jared Goff. At the line.
Story.
Calls an audible. The audible he uses is Halle Berry.
So not Omaha.
No, not Omaha.
Omaha.
Not that old tired used Omaha.
By the way, I heard it a lot yesterday.
He went to the old song. He went, Halle Berry.
Wait a minute. It was Osweiler. Watching Osweiler, the Packers game. Omaha. Osweiler was saying Omaha a lot, and Adam Gase used to be the coach of Peyton and the whole thing.
Yep. So he uses Omaha as an audible. Well, apparently Halle Berry.
Used Halle Berry, not Omaha.
Goff used Halle Berry, sorry. And then Halle Berry heard this, so she tweeted at, hold up, at Jared Goff 16, at Rams NFL, what's a Halle Berry? ? So Jared Goff tweets back, it's my favorite play ever. And, of course, Todd Gurley's got to get on it. He goes, thought, with like four laughing, smiling, crying emojis.
He called Halle Berry a thought.
Shoot your shot, young man. Because I'm going to tell you, that was my favorite play from, she was in a movie called Strictly Business, I believe, in 1991. And when Halle Berry walked on the stage, my eyes, remember the old cartoon emoji where the hearts go, that's how I was with Halle Berry. She's in unbelievable shape now. She's now doing some fitness stuff. Shoot your shot, Jared Goff. I'm not mad at you.
Look, Swordfish was the first movie that
To see more of Halle Berry.
You got to see more Halle Berry, which everybody wanted.
Oh, yeah.
And then what was the other one? Monsters Ball. You got to see a lot of Halle Berry.
And Billy Bob Thornton got to experience all of Halle Berry.
In the movies, at least.
And got paid for it.
Oh, yeah. In the movies, at least.
Can you believe he actually had sex with her while shooting that scene? Unreal.
All right. So, just last week, the Saints' Michael Thomas paid homage to Joe Horn and used a cell phone as a prop to celebrate his touchdown. Well, yesterday, Tyreek Hill used a prop of his own to celebrate his touchdown. It was also worth the penalty. Apparently, Tyreek took command of a TV camera after scoring his second touchdown of the day.
That's awesome.
Against Arizona and pointed it at his teammates. The celebration seemed completely spontaneous, too, which made it that much more amazing. Hill had the camera focus on his teammates. As you remember, Chad Downton did this back with the Bengals.
Yeah, he did.
That's awesome.
He did. The Chiefs, they're swashbuckling, man. They got superstar players who are in the end zone commandeering CBS cameras. It's unbelievable, man. They're 9-1, guys and girls. The Chiefs are 9-1. We thought there'd be growing pains with Patrick Mahomes. You guys are freaking MVP of the league. This is unbelievable stuff.
Would it be pretty awesome if a Falcon player scored and they came over and grabbed my mic and just started doing kind of off the cuff talk with Wes and Arch? That'd be cool.
Or they drop some bars for you?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe do some lyrics.
What would be the clearance for that, though? Like, in terms of getting on the Falcons radio network?
I mean, Miller is the clearance. If they grab the microphone from me, who am I to say no? Go ahead. Do what you need to do. Just remember that you won't be able to hear Arch and Wes talk back to you. You would just be talking for a very, very large audience.
DA of the day. Mm-hmm. Apparently, a Tennessee man attending the Titans win over the Patriots yesterday was taken to a local hospital after he fell through an awning while trying to grab a T-shirt in the third quarter.
Dude, it's a $3 cotton T-shirt. Stop. People will trample other people for these T-shirts. By the way, I had a DA of the day at the Georgia Tech game. I really felt bad for this dude. I think he was a little overserved. We were sitting in our section, and the railing was right behind us. And this guy was stumbling or running and fell head first into the iron railing. Just boom! Blood coming out. We had to call security. He had a huge knot on one side of his head and some blood pouring out of the other. It was not a good look for him. I don't know if he was overserved or what it was. But, again, $5 cotton T-shirts or too much alcohol in a game usually leads to bad things. I mean, fell through an awning. How bad were they hurt, Preacher Man?
He was listed as a critical, taken to the hospital, but he was upgraded critical? To stable.
Oof.
Yeah.
Buzzkill.
How high was
all
he up?
All for a T-shirt.
Really, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was a lower level. He was like the tunnel where the players come out, so uh-huh. He was right above the tunnel, so he fell.
Oh, he fell. That's a long fall, and that's straight concrete underneath.
Oh, it's straight concrete.
Got to feel bad for a guy like that. We come back. We tell the truth on a Falcons Monday.
Hold on.
What?
Hold on.
What?
First of all, it's a Falcons Monday powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
Oh, that means
research material.
It is. We're going to go, and this may be an oldie, but I'm going to do it anyway. She was a former wrestler. Her name is Zahra, Z-A-H-R-A, in chains. Z-A-H-R-A in chains. A little bit different research material today.
I think I need to get involved tomorrow. Well,
you need to look.
I think I need to get involved.
Look before you judge. That's all I will say. That's next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
John and Q. Mornings.
The Game.
To be honest, we didn't come out with energy. We've been coming out with the past couple weeks, you know. And, I feel like it was one of those situations where, like, as a team, we were just like, it's the Cleveland Browns, and we didn't take them serious. You know, it's the NFL, and every week is championship week. And today we just didn't get it done.
That's Devondre Campbell with some truth. No truth serum was required to get that out of Devondre Campbell. He played in the game. We watched the game, and it stunk. But it's a Falcons Monday powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. So, I mean, it is what it is. Now, you would like that thought process going into the game. You know what I mean? You'd like that going into the game rather than you go there, you stink, and then after the game, oh, man, we should have taken them more seriously. We may look back, John, if we miss the playoffs by one game, we'll look back to that trip to Cleveland and say that's where your season came to an end. But, look, my vibe is I'm frustrated, I'm disappointed, I'm confused, mostly confused because some of the coaching decisions were awful. A lot of the breakdowns on the field were awful, but I'm still gassed up. This is not bye-bye season.
No, it's not.
We got a huge game coming up against the Dallas Cowboys. They got a win last night. They're 4-5. We're 4-5. It is a true regular season death game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I like our chances of winning it.
It's a home game. You got to come out with the juice that they didn't have. You can imagine Dan Quinn is going to do every motivational tactic possible to get this team ready. By the way, you couldn't look up Zahra. You couldn't see her Instagram. Come over here. I've got a picture pulled up for you, Rick, so you can look at today's research material. A little different. She's a little more tattooed probably than you're liking, but everything else kind of fits with exactly what you're looking for.
Are they real?
I don't know. I don't really judge. I just look. She's a former wrestler. She used to work for the WWE. No longer works for them.
Trust me. I've worked with you for 2 years. You judge.
No, I judge are they good or not. I don't, real or fake don't matter to me.
So that is the research material for today. Give it to him one more time.
Zara in Chains.
Zara
in Chains.
It sounds like a bad movie. It sounds like a B movie, B horror movie or something.
My wife was watching. There's a new horror thing on Netflix. Something Haunted Hill. She loves scary movies or scary shows. She even said it was scary. She goes, "Oh my god, this show creeps me out." I go, "Yeah, I'm going to bed," and I was out. Haunting of Hill House. That's what it is. Good call, Mark.
Have you seen it, Mark Owens? The Haunting of.
Got through about three episodes. It was too slow.
Too slow. How long is it? 10 episodes?
I think it's only 8.
Really? Okay.
What? So they're killing people with a fork and knife?
No,
is that how it was too slow?
It's one
slow
of those psychological.
Yeah, it's
things.
Just kind of a screws with your mind a little bit. It takes a couple of. If I was more patient, I'd let it go in. But like American Horror Story, I think is pretty darn well. They do that very well. But people kind of compare it to those two. So
okay.
If you just need a good one, you can binge watch on a weekend. So it's not bad. It's got some good actors. But it's not jump out at you gory. It's kind of screw with your brain.
I understand. All right, let's get to it. Let's tell the truth on a Falcons Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. We have been talking football all day, and rightly so. And we've been talking football and football, okay? Shout out to United, man, taking care of NYCFC. Can I talk a little basketball?
Sure.
Is that all right?
You can.
Everybody okay
with
that?
Tell the truth on a Falcons Monday. It's your forum. You go for it.
Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. NBA superstar arrogance is out of control. And you say to yourself, wasn't it already? Mm-hmm, it was. And it has spiraled at even a greater mile per hour. NBA stars, John, don't give a rat's bleep about their reputation. Do you care about your reputation?
Yes.
I care about my reputation to the point where I get down on my 15-year-old who's in our fantasy league for not setting his lineup. You're giving me a bad name. I'm the fantasy guy. My son isn't setting lineups. Okay, I care about reputation. These guys don't. To wit, Jimmy Butler and Carmelo Anthony. Come on in. Shut the door. Have a seat. Jimmy Butler, John, let's go back to his days with the Chicago Bulls.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but he gave the Bulls management an ultimatum. He said, fire Fred Hoiberg or get me out of here. Kind of the LeBron-Pat Riley thing. And Pat Riley said, see ya. I'm not changing my culture for you or any player. Well, guess what the Bulls did? They said, beat it. We're sticking with Fred Hoiberg. We like this guy. And so they traded Jimmy Butler to Minnesota. Jimmy Butler, after 1 year and the first playoff trip for Minnesota since Kevin Garnett played there, has now forced a trade from Minnesota that they have acted on. He quit on the team. He cussed out executives and teammates and just quit on the team in terms of missing games even when he was healthy. Okay, so that's Jimmy Butler. Way to go, dude. Nice job. Here's Carmelo Anthony. John, correct, just stop me when I'm wrong. Already he was known as a cancer.
Yes.
Already known as being selfish.
Yep.
Already known as a stack guy.
Oh, yep.
Already known as a want-to-win, not-need-to-win guy.
Yep.
Okay, so we're on the right track here. John, now he has thrown what's left of his reputation in the trash. He had like 5% of reputation left and threw that last 5% in the trash. Here's how. Carmelo Anthony, had the first game he played off the bench for Houston, he complained about it afterwards. The first game.
Knowing when he went to Houston he was going to be a bench player. Yeah.
They hadn't quite decided the role yet, but if you're not delusional, you kind of say, oh, I got to come off the bench with these guys. Anyway, and get this, John. Recently, he's missed the last two games with an illness, all right? Look, Knox Bardeen with his fake strep throat was more ill than Carmelo Anthony. You know why he left with an illness?
Why is that?
Because his previous game, his last game, 1 of 11 from the field and had 2 points.
That'll make me want to be ill
right.
as well.
So he went bye-bye, took his ball, and went home. And now, according to multiple reports, the Rockets and Carmelo Anthony and his agent are talking about his exit from the team. So that is where we are with Jimmy Butler and Carmelo Anthony. Now, let me play it forward. This is the end game, John. Carmelo Anthony is going to sit on his couch waiting for the phone to ring, and the phone is not going to ring. He's all these things, stack guy, a want-to-win guy, a cancer, and now the Rockets are presumably a title contender. Nah, that's not good enough for you either. So why would any team call him? This year with Houston, by the way, so this isn't a selling point either, 13.4 points per game, shooting 40%
Yuck.
From the field. Trae Young is shooting higher from the field than Carmelo
As
Anthony.
As a rookie point guard.
Now, let's get to Jimmy Butler. Here's the end game for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, John, is going to play nice in his new digs in Philadelphia for a minute. But he loves throwing young players under the bus. He did it in Chicago. He did it in Minnesota. And he's going to do it in Philadelphia. And the two guys are not Joel Embiid. It is Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons. Markelle Fultz is already kind of a weirdo and questions his confidence and all that. Jimmy is going to sniff that like a Rottweiler on a snake and grind on him. Ben Simmons, allergic to working on his game. I've got intel. I have told you guys. Will not improve his free throw shooting, will not improve his three-point shooting, because he just doesn't care to work. He can show up with his godlike physique and be a max player in a walking triple-double without that extra work. So he does not want to put it in. Is Jimmy Butler going to be okay with that?
No.
Okay, so just putting it out there. There will be drama in Philly this year with Jimmy and the young guys. I think he is going to poison the 76ers like he poisoned the Timberwolves and like he poisoned the Bulls. That is your boy Rick Kamla telling the truth on a Falcons Monday.
Well, I'm going to tell the truth on a Falcons Monday, and I think I had this conversation with Mike Conti in the back. What makes us be able to do the job that we do here on radio is a couple things. A, we're able to talk for 4 hours and somewhat be entertaining and all those good things. But we also care about what we do. We don't just walk in and look at a box score and go about our business. I can say for our show and our station, we are invested in the products that we pay attention to. There are days, though, Mark, I wish I could take my emotion out of sports, because sports a lot of times will make my week and it will ruin my week. And this weekend is one of the weekends that it flat out, I literally had to take a step back and go, my kids had a great time. I'm healthy. My birthday's tomorrow. That's all I had. Because Saturday, and I knew Miami's done. Season's been over for 3 weeks. When you lose to Virginia and BC and Duke in a row, you know who you are. Your lot in life is you're a mediocre college football team, and that's exactly what they are. But for my fun, I had purchased tickets a while back. I want to go watch them play in person. And the last time this year I'd watched them play in person, they won 47-10. Life was seemingly good. Of course, they go out, they lay an egg. I left the game. I had never left. I'd left one game early in my life. That was the Peach Bowl. I left this one early because, A, my kids were cold. And I was to the point where I had to take my jacket off, put it on Kane. Sophia had a blanket wrapped around her, which was now making me cold because I didn't have a blanket or a jacket. And it's Mark Richt coaching a team, and he looked like Weekend at Bernie's. He was just standing over there like he was in a Hawaiian suit, and somebody was holding him up. So obviously I'm aggravated. Then I go to, and I call it work. It's not work. I'm blessed to be a part of the Falcons Radio Network, something that I love to do, and go up there. The team does not play well, and then we come home. This weekend has literally wrecked this week, because I already know now Miami sucks, which I've known for a while. The Falcons are up against their playoff lives. And I have to do everything I can, Preacher Man, to not argue with people on social media. So there are some days, to tell the truth, love our job. I am blessed to do what I do. I hope I can do this 20 more years and retire in my 60s and go lay on a beach somewhere and sip bad drinks for the rest of my life. There are some weeks, Mark, I wish I didn't care so doggone much, where I could just go, my team lost, like a lot of people do, and go about their business. I just can't do it, Rick, and it's killing me sometimes. Mark?
So yesterday, Kyle Busch got the win in Phoenix, wrapping up the season of the 2018 NASCAR season. After the race, instead of celebrating the win, he got heated on Twitter after a fan called him out for not signing longer on his way to the driver's meeting before the race. The fan even called him a hashtag a-hole and said, "No wonder your fans hate you." This to Kyle Busch. Now, for situations like this, athletes, be it football, baseball, wrestling, NASCAR, it doesn't matter. They are in a no-win situation. And I see this a lot. We all do, working in and around sports. Athletes are not required to talk to you. They're not required to take a picture. Nope. They're required to sign an autograph. But sometimes they can't get to everyone. I've seen this before during the season this year. Freddie Freeman came out before the game to sign some autographs. And when he comes out, everybody comes rushing down there. Out there for about 5 minutes, signed as many as he could. And then he had to go back to the dugout to get ready for a baseball game. A couple of fans were screaming and yelling at him, "What about us? What about us? Oh, Freddie, well, come on, Freddie." And they were legitimately getting mad, and I heard this phrase, and I've heard it before. "We pay your salary. We pay, that's not exactly true. I get it. You are emotionally invested. And this goes to every fan of every sport. You are emotionally invested into these players, but they are not required to come hang out with you and be a part of your life. You love them, and they love everything you do for them as well. But just because they can't get to all the autograph doesn't mean that they're a bad person. Doesn't mean that they're a hashtag a-hole. The other problem is, when they do come and sign autographs, you got the autograph hounds who has the trapper keeper full of baseball cards who, before the game even starts, has them up on eBay. That tells a lot of the guys. David Green would tell me. He said a lot of times you avoid those guys because you know they don't want it because they're a fan. They want it to go try to make a buck 50 off of it. So if you're that fan that sits there and screams and yells and gets on Twitter to yell at a race car driver because he didn't sign your autograph, that he's a bad person and that's why they hate you, you are not given anything. You are not entitled to anything as a fan. Man, you do the sport because you love it and you're invested because you love it. But as far as their standpoints, back off a little bit, okay? They do everything they can.
You know what you're entitled to when you buy your ticket to watch the game?
Mm-hmm.
The end.
And get hit in the head by a ball.
That's what you're entitled to watch the game.
Wow. And have your throat taken over by a frog.
Yeah, man, watch the game. If you get an autograph, that is bonus. Yeah. That is bonus. And a lot of players are very, very good about it. And it's funny coming from NASCAR. I don't think there's any sport that gives you more access. You can literally stand in the pit during a race. That's the equivalent of standing next to Dan Quinn during a game. So to call
even out, I can't stand next to Dan Quinn during
so to,
a game.
So to call out Kyle Busch for not doing enough for his fans is an injustice to what the players already do and what the athletes do for their fans.
Preacher Man, tell the truth on a Falcons Monday.
All right, my weekend is pretty quiet. You know, the wife's back in town, so it's just family time. But I was at my buddy's house yesterday. He was kind enough to invite me over to watch the game. Got a big screen, man cave, got three TVs. You know, if my team's on, he's generous enough to put mine on. You know, usually they're losing, but yesterday was fun because they won. But certain provider yesterday had a little power outage their Sunday ticket, and he was miffed to say the least.
When?
As much as you pay for that particular package and it for not working,
mine was working.
His was not working at all.
What time? Was it like the first
the entire first window.
Oh, no.
Like from 1 to 4?
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if it got fixed after that, but it wasn't working whatsoever. And fortunately for us, like, you know, the Falcons game was on Fox. My game was on CBS.
Oh, there you go.
So we were able to watch both the games that we wanted to see.
And you know what's crazy? That said provider, I think yesterday, was giving a free day of Sunday
ticket. They were.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like overload. Too many people were taking them up on the free preview, and it just shut the thing down.
Yeah,
I guess maybe it was a bandwidth problem, Preacher Man.
A lot of nasty words being said to people on the other end of a phone, I can tell you that.
Hey, congratulations to Garrett from Houston. Picked up a pair of tickets for Hawks and Raptors on Wednesday, November the 21st at State Farm Arena. Might see Rick and I's mug up there. We'll try not to scare you, but Hawks fans, tickets are still available right now at Hawks.com. I want to ask a question via social media coming up next. We'll get to that about the Falcons' loss to the Browns on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.